As we gather here this evening, I want to remark that it is actually warmer this evening than it was this morning, albeit very comfortable here in the building. And I do appreciate everyone taking the putting forth the extra effort to come out to look into this evening why Christianity makes sense. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And as you're turning, if you can do two things at once, I want you to consider a scenario. Consider that we come across someone who has absolutely no idea whatsoever about religion. In other words, they've not been instructed, they've not been taught, they have not been exposed to religion. That's why I said it was a scenario, perhaps a hypothetical scenario. And then plop them down in the middle of the religious world and imagine how confused they might be. As we contemplate Christianity this evening, I want everyone to understand that when we're talking about Christianity in this sermon this evening, we're talking about true Christianity. Because so many people try to group a number of denominations into what is Christianity. And even if one was to contemplate this and see all of the confusion and what is taught one thing over here and one thing over there and something else up the road, how confusing it would be. How nonsensical it would be when you have the one man-made doctrine over here, one man-made doctrine over there, a different man-made doctrine over here. And you say, well, how can this all be? The fact of the matter is, Christianity does make sense, and there's a number of different reasons for it. Now let's look into our text, and we will begin to examine this, and hopefully we will see when we conclude why Christianity makes sense. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. This is just a very small portion of the book of Colossians. But the book of Colossians in itself is a contrast between Christ and the speculations of men. When you hold the speculations and the ideas and ideology of men up against the doctrine of Christ, you'll see that all of them fail. None of them really make sense when they are examined carefully, but Christianity does. Paul's answer to all opposition to Christ is to tell them about Christ. The best thing that we can do as people oppose Christ or as they inquire of Christ, of course, always to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is within us, but the best thing to do to offset that is to tell them about Christ, to teach them of Christ, to show them Christ in our lives. And understanding the identity of Christ is why Christianity makes sense. And so every Christian should understand these fundamental truths and how that these fundamental truths should make sense to the world. Christianity makes sense, number one, because there is a creator. Number two, because mankind has a purpose. Number three, because the Creator supports and sustains us. Four, he desires the unity of mankind. And five, he reveals himself in Jesus Christ. And finally, number six, he saves by his grace. I want to look at each one of these very briefly this evening. And hopefully we'll have a better understanding of Christianity and why it makes sense in this troubled world in which we live. First, We saw in verses 15 and 16 of our text, we won't read again, that Christianity makes sense because there is a creator. We're going to, of course, go to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And we know that the universe did not just happen. We know that it didn't just come from nothing. You get to talking to people in the quote-unquote scientific world, and they will tell you all sorts of crazy things about the Big Bang or millions of years, and all of a sudden a single-celled organism decided, how it could think, I don't know, but it decided that I'm going to eventually develop and grow and crawl up on land, or I'm going to become a fish, and then I'm going to become a bird, and I'm going to... No, it doesn't work that way. It came by the power and the word of God, and God spoke it into existence. And so the relationship of God to the world is not one of identity, but of creator and created. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 makes this extremely clear, abundantly clear. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This includes the cosmos, the universe, and all else. And then the scientists are going to say, okay, but he used the process of eons of time and all of this malarkey to bring it about. No, God spoke it. And the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day, and so forth and so forth. And he looked at the end and he said, it was very good. In 6 days, all of this was created. Cosmos, universe, the whole thing. In Isaiah chapter 45, in verse 18, we see confirmation that God created the earth, and it tells us why. You ever wondered why God created the earth? The Bible does. It tells us right here. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he that established it, he created it not in vain. Notice the next phrase, he formed it to be inhabited. What was God's crowning achievement of creation? Man. God formed man of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He created woman from man and gave her to man and told them to be fruitful, to multiply. He created with the intent for the earth to be inhabited. And there's a reason for that as well. We'll get to that a little later on in the sermon. To be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is none else. In saying this, he's made the proclamation that there is none other with the power to create. In the beginning, God are some of the most powerful words that you'll find in the Bible. Of course, we know that Jesus is that creator. You can turn to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, which shows that. And somebody might say, well, you're contradicting yourself, preacher. You said God was the creator and Jesus is now the creator. Let's get it straight. It is straight. And if you go to this passage, you'll see what I'm talking about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You go all the way back to the beginning again. Not that we're going to turn there, but we can see what he said. Let us make man in our image. The Father, the Word, the Spirit. And so we see that Jesus Christ was with God, and he was God. In fact, he is God, and he was there, and he was in creation. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as we discuss the facet of our text that says Christianity makes sense because there is a creator, we see he not only made the worlds, but we see also how God the Father speaks to man in this final dispensation of time. It makes perfect sense. God created the world. And he created the world for man to inhabit it. And he created man to inhabit the earth, to receive the plan that would save his soul if he would obey God. It's a pretty simple scenario. Of course, this fact that we read here in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 makes the Alpha and Omega have a little more meaning, doesn't it? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. We see then that Christianity makes sense because there is a creator. And because there is a creator, we have one to whom we may look to receive that which God has provided. Secondly, Christianity makes sense because mankind has a purpose. You ever wondered what your purpose is here in life? People say, oh yeah, you got to grow up. Some people don't do that very well, do they? Then you've got to get a job, and you got to support your family, and you got to gain, and you got to amass, and you got to pull all your stuff together, and you got to count your stuff. That's not what our purpose is. God created everything for a person. There's absolutely nothing that there's not a time for and a purpose for. And Ecclesiastes tells us that. There's a time to live and a time to die, etc. But in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, we see that the purpose of creating man was to give man the means and the opportunity to obey God, which equals attaining to salvation. When God said, let there be light, there was a purpose for that. When he separated the light from the darkness, there was a purpose for that. When he created all of the things that he created, there was a purpose for every bit of that creation. And when he created man, there was a purpose. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Christ's suffering provided this for us. We see there in Hebrews that the purpose is to bring sons unto God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, we can see that God's works are for our own good. When God created things, when he put things in place, when his plan was being carried out over the few thousand years, not million, that the earth has been in place, and it came into the fullness of time when God's plan was perfected, it works for us. The Philippian brethren were told this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure is his will, which saves the soul of man if man will simply receive it, embrace that plan, participate in that plan, and remain faithful to God. And so he created mankind for a purpose. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. We'll see communication from God to man. We'll see the purpose for which he created man. He never intended, because of his foreknowledge, he never intended that it would just be one man and one woman in one garden forever. He knew they would sin. He knew what their sin was going to be. He knew what their punishment for sin would be. He knew that there would be others, because when he created them, he told them, be fruitful, multiply. But notice what he says here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. As men learn of God, they have opportunity to follow God. This was the purpose. God created man and gave man the opportunity to choose whether or not they would obey God or not, whether or not they would follow what God has said. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 37, we see Jesus reminding the Jews of his day, and the lawyer that tempted him, by the way, what was contained in that law, the law under which they lived, the law under which they could be obedient to God, and which they could serve God. And it would allow them to fulfill God's purpose. It is no different today, because this very law was restated again in the New Testament time after the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2. But while Jesus was here on earth, he said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." He punctuated it by saying, "This is the first and great commandment." You need to stop and think about it. If indeed we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, we're also going to love our neighbor, which is, by the way, the second commandment. The second is likened to it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And notice what he said in verse 40 there. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You see, man was in a process, a part of the process, bringing God's final plan to fruition. And if indeed we love God and we serve him with all our being, we can fulfill the purpose that God had for mankind. And if we love God and if we obey God, we are going to obey the gospel and we're going to be Christians. And Christianity would make sense as we fulfill our purpose. Christianity also makes sense because the Creator made a real and a good world. We saw that in verse 17 of our text. It says, "He is before all things, and by him all things consist." And we think, as we look out on this world today, how can it be a good world? It's awful. It's a mess. But who made it that way? That's the question. Christianity does make sense because the Creator did make a real and a good world. He created it. He upholds it. He sustains it as both real and good. Just because there is evil in the world doesn't mean that the world is evil. Just because there's evil all around us doesn't mean that we have to be evil. We have the choice. We have the opportunity. We have the benefit of living in this world and being able to serve God. The world is real. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, a passage which we've already led up to, but we're going to continue reading in Hebrews chapter 1, this time the first part of verse 3, speaking of Christ, it shows that he keeps everything in order by his word. Who, speaking of Christ, being the brightness of his, speaking of God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. I hear people all the time say, you know, God is in charge, and he is. Doesn't mean he involves himself in the minutiae of life, or that he controls the minutiae of life. He doesn't control our thoughts. He doesn't control our actions. We do. But he's given us the means whereby we can control these things. And it is by the same word that keeps the earth spinning as it should and the universe operating as it should. And it is a real world. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12 also speaks of creation. It also speaks of the world as being real. "He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion." God's will was to create the earth and a world that was suitable for man. A real world, a good world. And this world is good for the purposes for which God created it. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31 shows that God, looking upon all that he had formed, everything that he put in place, and saw that it was wonderful. It's amazing to me when you start and you read these passages previous to this, you see that God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. And there in verse 31, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." That was the completion of creation. And you know what? Very shortly after that, man started messing up God's creation. Man has done everything they can to the world. Man has even gone to the point where they think we're going to mess up the world to the point where it will not work. They're worried about carbon footprint and the idea of having a zero carbon footprint. It doesn't exist because we live and we breathe and we exhale carbon monoxide and there's no way to not do it. That's not why God created the earth, and that's not how it's going to end. God created the earth, and it was good, and he saw that it was very good. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, we find the evidence of this, and it's available in every dispensation of time. It was true in the initial when man was put on earth. It was true during all of the patriarchal system. It was true during the Mosaic system, and it's equally true today. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Many people commented today about how cold it was and how cold it was and where they live in their home and they have relatives who are snowed in and that sort of thing. You know what makes that bearable? The fact that just a few months from now we're going to have buds on the trees. We're going to have very pleasant weather, and then it's going to be hot weather. God put the seasons in place, and he keeps everything going, and it's a good world, and it's designed for his purpose. Rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, and filling our hearts with food and gladness. And all of his creation is here together on this planet. Christianity makes sense because he desires the unity of mankind. Guess when unity between humanity stopped? When one rose up against his brother and killed him. And it has continued ever since then, that man has fought against what God desired. When you stop and think about it, we're all made equal in God's image. Man has a problem, a big problem, a multiplicity of problems. One of the problems that man has is that man wants to hold himself above other people. That's not what God intended. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. Paul, while standing in the midst of Mars Hill, makes an explanation here, and it has been proven out by science since then. As he was talking to them, he was telling them that all of them are on the same plane when it comes to God, and every person was made in the image of God, meaning every person has a soul, and that soul needs to be redeemed, and it is redeemed while they're here on this earth that is real and good. He said, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Just think about that just for a minute. One blood equals one people, and all of us live here on the earth. Everyone has a soul. When you stop and think about it, we all have something in common. We have a soul, and that soul will exist for eternity. Now, the difference is that some of those souls will not exist where other souls will exist. And that's where Christianity comes in. But we can all have unity if we just obey the gospel and remain faithful. And if we follow God's true word, we would be united in purpose. We would be united in goal. We would grow more sufficiently because we would be working toward that one goal. In Acts chapter 10 and verses 34 and 35, we read of the proclamation of Peter as he stood before Cornelius and the Gentiles gathered there. What did he say? He opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. The plan for you is the same as the plan for me. And the plan is the same for everyone who walks the face of the earth. God has the same plan for all. and all are called to unity and equality in the body of Christ, the church. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29 is one of the places that makes it extremely plain, explaining to those brethren in Galatia that they were all the children of God by the same way, for the same purpose, and had the same benefit if they would simply embrace and continue to embrace true Christianity. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's a very important verse within that group. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then the explanation in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God promised Abraham that his seed would be more numerous than the sands of the sea, more numerous than the stars of the sky. And this is the fulfillment of that. Christianity makes sense because God desires the unity of mankind. And we can see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that unity only happens in Christ. Christ is the head of the church. God gave him that authority. When he came to his disciples and he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth, he could very well have said, all authority is mine. But Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it says it slightly differently. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. Christianity makes sense because the obedient and the faithful are in unity with God. They are in unity with all others who have been obedient and remain faithful. Christianity makes sense because God reveals himself in Jesus Christ. One of the disciples one time said to Jesus, show us the Father. Remember the rebuke? Jesus was a real person who lived in a real time in a real place. I've heard people say things about the Christ and about the record that we have of the Christ. And they said, well, I don't know if that's exactly right. No, it is 100% exactly right. Because the scripture is given by inspiration. This is God breathing, telling us how his son came, what his son did, why he did it, and it was for our benefit. And in John chapter 1, verse 18, we see God. But we see God by the Son or in the Son and by the Son's testimony of the Father. He says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Christianity makes sense because Jesus Christ declared God by his word. He declared God by his life. He lived to serve his Father. He set before us an example without flaw. And he died so that we might have the opportunity to be children of God. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 tells us when this happened, as well as why he came, which also shows us God. It shows us the plan that culminates in Christianity and why Christianity makes sense. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He revealed himself in his Son, but Christ is also God. I've already pointed this out But I want to stress it again. He revealed God through himself. And he is God in the flesh. Again, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When you stop and think about it, we have a full understanding of this. Some people do not. And they think maybe why Christianity doesn't make sense. How can one be God in heaven and one be God on earth at the same time? Well, it's very simple, folks. There's God the Father. There's God the Son, who was previously known as God the Word. And there's God the Spirit. All three of them working in perfect harmony to bring about the plan that would bring Christianity to the world and bring salvation to a lost and dying world. And so Christianity makes sense because he saves by his grace. A lot of people get hung up on this. They think that grace is something that God pours out upon man. Man has to do absolutely nothing to receive it. And part of that statement is true. There's nothing that we can do to deserve it. And mankind cannot merit salvation. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, many, many years before Christianity was introduced to the world, and before the means for Christianity coming, Christ dying upon the cross, happened, Jeremiah was directed by the Spirit to write to those sinful Jews, God's own people, who were forsaking him pretty much all the time. And he sent these prophets to call them back so his plan would be carried out. And God's plan was going to be carried out. But this particular place in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, we see that the prophet was directed to write, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God did not put man on earth and then direct him partially toward salvation or partially toward obedience without giving him the means to do so. You stop and think about it. Israel had been given a complete law. When I say a complete law, the purpose for which it was designed would be fulfilled. And they could be faithful to God under that law. But it was not up to man to determine which way to serve God. It wasn't under the old law. It's not today. It's up to man to follow what God has said. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we find the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. And we see the application of Jeremiah 10:23 in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Paul desired that his brethren, Israel, the Jews, the fleshly Israel, to be saved. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He desired that his loved ones be saved. Today, we desire that our loved ones be saved. We should also desire for our enemies to be saved. But notice what he said in verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You know, I'm not going to say that the Jews of Paul's day, who were still holding to the Jewish faith, were not religious. They were very religious. I'm not going to say that some of the denominations are not zealous. They're very zealous. But they both had the same problem. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And the knowledge that is needed is that God saves by his grace, and he only saves those who will obey and become in Christ. And that's why Christianity makes sense. It makes sense because mankind needs a Savior. If it's not in man that walketh to direct himself, is it in man to save himself? He cannot do that. It is impossible. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 beginning, we find in the 8th verse a passage that many have used to hang their salvation on. Perhaps even they have used verses 8 and 9. And they want to say, because of the grace of God, I have been saved. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to these Ephesian brethren, he writes, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if a person has faith, they go to the word of God. If they follow the word of God, they are saved by the grace of God, which has appeared to all men, teaching us that we can live godly in this present wicked, evil world. But as we continue reading, "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Remember, it's not a man that walketh to direct his steps. God gave us the plan. Wherefore, remember in verse 11, that being in the past time, or time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Those folks who have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, are without hope. They're without God in the world. And that's why Christianity makes sense, because it will unite them with God. It will unite them with their brethren in Christ, or those who are will become their brethren once they are added to the church. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh," brought near. How? "By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." That one body that he talks about there is the church, the body of Christ. Why does Christianity make sense? First and foremost, because there is a creator. Secondly, because there is a purpose for mankind. Thirdly, because the creator made a real and good world. He also desires the unity of mankind. All of us on the same level, having the same opportunity, based upon the same commandments, reaching toward the same promise, having the same hope. He reveals himself in Jesus Christ, and he saves by his grace. Christianity may not have made sense to you when you walked in this evening. It may very well make sense to you this evening, after hearing these things and the reasons why Christianity makes sense. It's also quite possible that you never obeyed it before because it never made sense. We're going to give you that opportunity. But also the opportunity for one who is in Christ, who has stumbled and fallen, to address that situation, to be brought back into unity with God and with brethren. The invitation is very simple. It's very clear. It consists of about six steps. One is to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" One must also believe or have faith. In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That reward, friends, is only in Christ. One must repent. We see in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20 exactly what Saul did very shortly after his conversion. "Showed first to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." One must also confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as Simon Peter did in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And one must be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." That's because that in baptism is where one contacts the blood of Christ. If they are taught properly, they know the plan, they realize their sin, they have repented of their sin, are willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they can be baptized into Christ. And then one must remain faithful unto death. Oh, to be able, at the conclusion of this life, having realized that Christianity makes sense, to be able to utter the words that the Apostle Paul penned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Sadly, not everyone who has named the name of Christ remains faithful. But God has provided for that as well. His grace is still being extended. It just simply has to be received, to be brought back into fellowship with God. The erring Christian is to repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Why the importance of extending that invitation? Why the importance of teaching people why Christianity makes sense? Because tomorrow may be too late. Tonight you have an opportunity, and it may very well be the last opportunity. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, you need to do so. If you've put on Christ in baptism but have become unfaithful or have unrepented sin within your life, you need to address that right now, because tomorrow may be too late. If you need to address that, if you need to obey the gospel, I want you to come forward, I want you to obey the gospel. If you need to repent of sins, and if it's a sin of a private nature, you may do so where you stand. But don't wait until it's too late. Christianity makes sense, and one who is not in Christ is lost for eternity. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.